Straight Talk about vision loss with Mark Riccobono.
Welcome back to Straight Talk and the first episode of 2009. You know, 2009, we are celebrating the 200th anniversary of the birth of Louis Braille, and more significantly, in some ways, the ceremonial kickoff of our Braille Readers Are Leaders literacy campaign, which we've talked about previously on Straight Talk. One of the exciting things that we're doing is promoting Braille awareness across the country. And on January 4th of this year, we had over 100 events across the country. Our members of the National Federation of the Blind out in bookstores, in libraries, in malls, promoting Braille, teaching people about the vitality of Braille and how important it is to the independence of the blind. You know, the blind participate in all facets of society. And one of the other things that Louis Braille did that was very significant, he created the Braille code, the literary Braille code, but he also created the code for music, the Braille code that allows so many blind people to interpret what sighted people see in a printed score of music, and to be able to play that music in their own way, in their own voice, but with a deeper understanding of what the composer meant. So I thought it would be fitting to kick off 2009 to invite someone who knows something about Braille music. Late in 2008, I had the opportunity to interview Jessica Bachicha. Jessica was an intern for us during the summer of 2008 and helped put together a product that we are now releasing, which is a video about the Braille music code. And to introduce you to Jessica before we sit down and talk with her, let's take a look at her at our 2008 March for Independence singing the national anthem.
We now honor America. Please enjoy the singing of our national anthem.
Jessica.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Wow, Jessica, that was amazing. Thank you for being with us on Straight Talk.
It's a great honor. Thanks.
So, Jessica, you've already been introduced by Kevin there. Can you give our audience a little background on who you are and what you're about?
I'm Jessica Bachicha. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, originally. Right now, I am living in the D.C. area. I'm a doctoral student at Catholic University. I'm also a classical singer. I sing music from the Middle Ages to now, and that's a pretty wide spectrum of things. I love to compose as well and to do a lot of improvisation. I love to sing because that's how I can make an impact. And I have been involved with the National Federation of the Blind since I was in high school. I won a scholarship in 2002 and 2006, and this summer I was an intern at the National Center.
Yes, and doing great work as well. Thank you for being part of our staff this summer.
It was a lot of fun.
Maybe we should start there, actually. One of the things that you've been working on, and one of the reasons that we wanted to talk with you, is because you are really championing Braille music and its vitality and its importance. And maybe you can talk a little bit about your experience with Braille music. And first of all, I guess, what is the Braille Music Code?
The Braille Music Code was developed by Louis Braille, and he was also an organist, so he had a really good idea of what needed to be conveyed through the Braille music medium. And it uses the six dots that we're familiar with in literary and Nemeth Braille code, and it gives them musical meanings. So you will have in the first four dots of the cell, dots 1, 2, 4, 5, the pitch of the note, and in the bottom two, dots 3 and 6, the rhythmic value. In addition, there are dynamic symbols, expression marks, and everything else that is available in print music. The system is quite efficient. It's linear rather than spatial, so it's a different kind of an idea. And I came to learning Braille music pretty late. I was 16 when I had my first exposure to it. I was participating in a summer music institute sponsored by the Music and Arts Center for Humanity and directed by David Goldstein, and that was just a door opening for me. Before, I had learned music pretty much by ear, and afterward I started to realize that there was a lot more room for expression and a lot more room for adding a personal touch and knowing what the composer had in mind.
So the Braille Music Code, is it different in parts of the world?
No, it's a universal code. So you can have a piece of music from the Netherlands and you can read it. The music, especially, well, vocal music, is in as many languages as there is music.
Right.
But that doesn't affect the actual music notation.
Mm-hmm. So it truly is a mirroring of music itself.
It's
kind of a universal language in itself.
It is.
So this is an interesting point. So you didn't actually come to Braille music till you were 16. How then did Braille music change or impact your work and your passion as someone that is pursuing music and vocal arts?
There's so many things I could say, but one of the most important applications of Braille music has been in my university studies. In the first 4 years of my college career, I had to take many theory classes, and if I hadn't had Braille music, it would have been a lot harder for me, because a lot of theory is writing, analyzing other people's music, and you don't really get a complete picture by listening to a recording. There's a whole branch of study devoted to recordings, but a lot of that is studying the particular artist and their interpretation, when in music theory, really we're concerned with what the composer had in mind. So I used Braille music not only to study other people's works, but to write my own works. And believe me, it's an amazing feeling to have my own score in my hands in print, because I had written it out first in Braille music and then put it through software to make it available to sighted musicians, to hand it out to musicians and say, all right, guys, let's play through this.
That's great. And you actually do have a CD as well.
I do. I released it in 2004. It's called Illumination, and it features music from the 17th century through the 20th century, and it includes one of my original compositions.
That's wonderful. Can people buy that CD?
Yes, you can find it through Eroica Classical Recordings, and I believe it's still on CD Baby right now.
Okay, excellent. We'll put that information along up on the screen as well. As a blind person, and you've talked about music and Braille, are there other techniques that you use in pursuing your studies and pushing further in your work?
One of the things that I will be exploring more as I continue my study of early music is the study of original manuscripts. Getting a piece of music that has been handwritten and being able to interpret it and figure out things about it that nobody has figured out yet. So in order for that to happen, it cannot really pass through a transcription mm-hmm. medium, because the transcriber already is interpreting it in a certain sense.
Right.
So I started training a couple of years ago on a pretty old piece of equipment called the Opticon, there's a camera that runs across the page, and you put your finger in this little on this little plate, and there are vibrations that form the shapes on the page so that you can just literally feel what's there and construct it finger width at a time.
Yeah.
So that is a really neat way for me to begin to study manuscripts, because everything comes out like anything from watermarks to the curly cues that somebody might have put in the margins. Of course, the challenge with that is being able to interpret what are these lines and dots, you know, what does that in print mm-hmm. mean?
Yeah. So do you work with the reader then sometimes as well?
I do, yes. Yeah. You know, the thing that has really been important to me is having as many tools in the toolbox as possible.
Yeah.
Braille music is one component. The Opticon is another. The reader is another one. And really combining all of those things and using them when I need them has really been a successful way for me to access materials.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So maybe this is a good point to say that right around the corner is your debut, right?
Yes, I'm really excited about that. I got the news that I will be performing in Carnegie Hall in 2009, and I will be able to give you more information about that. I'm going to be giving a 30-minute recital along with it's an hour and a half program, so I'll be performing, and then the winner of the International Tchaikovsky Violin Competition will be performing, and another artist, and I hope to be doing some Spanish songs, some Russian, and maybe some operatic arias and things as well. I'd like it to be thematic, because I like there to be a message or a sort of a thread that weaves together what I perform.
So are you nervous?
Yes, and excited, definitely.
Yeah. You've been running it through your head already?
Yeah. Yes, I'm already trying to get the repertoire together and timing it and figuring out, is this longer than 30 minutes?
Do you feel your construction of performance is different than sighted performers?
I don't think it's different than sighted performers. I think each musician brings a unique gift to the stage.
Yeah.
And I really don't think it has anything to do with being blind or being sighted. It really has to do with, why am I here? Why am I making music, and why am I sharing it with people?
Yeah. Let me ask, do you pursue music because you're blind?
Absolutely not. And in fact, I was a little bit reluctant to enter into music as a career, because I had heard so many times, blind people must be great musicians. And I didn't want people to think of me on the merits of my blindness in the same way I don't like them to think of me in terms of, you're blind, you must not be able to do something.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to be a good singer, regardless of whether I was blind or not, and make a difference. If anything, I'd like people to be able to say, she's a singer who just happens to be blind, and go from there.
So, well, clearly, as evidenced by your performance of the National Anthem, there's talent there, no doubt about that.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about the work that you've done as an intern here at the National Center for the Blind. We love to give young blind people the opportunity to be interns with us, and you've been here this past summer doing work, and maybe you can talk a little bit about the work that you've been doing and the upcoming project that we're going to put together and release.
I've been doing some really exciting work here at the National Center having to do with Braille literacy, both Braille music literacy and Braille literacy in general. I'd like to talk a little bit about a Braille music literacy promotion video that we're just about to release. This video is really exciting for me because it's going to get the message out there to people who are interested in Braille music, whether they be students, parents, freelance musicians, teachers, people who are interested in becoming transcribers. And hopefully it will dispel some of the myths out there that Braille music is hard, Braille music is cumbersome. Mm-hmm. I want to show through people's experiences how useful Braille music is. And so we've interviewed all sorts of people, little kids, older people, professional musicians, among them Marcus Roberts, who's a professional jazz musician and has performed internationally with amazing people.
Yeah, very talented in his own right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So we have put together these interviews, but we've done so in a way, hopefully, that will show that Braille music is not anything that's extra or a luxury, but it's just as essential for blind musicians as print music is for sighted musicians.
Yeah.
We don't dispute that learning by ear is one valid tool, but I always talk to people when they ask me about Braille music, I bring up the example of Beethoven. He was a great composer and no doubt could learn very easily by ear, and but if he hadn't had some kind of medium to write down his music, we wouldn't have had anything of his now.
Yeah.
Except for perhaps a story about his greatness.
Yeah. Ah, that's really powerful. What surprises you about Braille music and its teaching to kids out there?
You know, it surprises me that so few people know about the information that's out there. I have been quite blessed to be friends with and colleagues with a lot of musicians who have influenced me a lot to love Braille music, among them David Goldstein and Bill McCann, who's the president and founder of Dancing Dots Technologies. And they have a lot of resources out there. I got to study sight reading with Richard Tesh, who works at the Southern California Conservatory of Music. And he's a remarkable teacher, and I think if more people had these instructional resources, Braille music would be a lot more widespread. Mm-hmm. I've also been really, really fortunate enough to have a Braille music transcriber that I've been working closely, with whom I've been working closely for about 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. Actually met him in concert choir in undergrad. I was looking for somebody who didn't necessarily know Braille music, but that was familiar with music to learn a computer program that would make it possible to get Braille music. And Andy was like, oh yeah, I'm interested in learning Lyme. Let me know more about it. So together we kind of learned, and he became my transcriber and has since begun a business for transcription of Braille music and has started kind of a little library so that the pieces that he's done for me, other people can now access for educational purposes.
Wonderful. That's great. When you're sitting 10 years from now, 15 years from now, on a talk show much more prestigious than this one, or maybe as prestigious as this one will be in that time, where are you going to be?
I'd like to be performing around the world. I'd like to perform with the New York Philharmonic and all of the major orchestras. I'd also like to found my own orchestra and be touring with them. And I'd also like to be a professor at a university teaching voice and music history.
And in your free time?
In my free time, hopefully I'll have lots of children and a great husband.
That's great. So all of the normal dreams and ambitions and leadership, which is really, really wonderful. Well, this has been great. Is there anything else you want to share with our viewers, parents of blind children, young aspiring blind musicians out there?
I would say keep the expectations high. Expect the very best from yourself. And another thing to remember as a musician is I find that the best way to grow is not to compare myself to other people, but to compare myself to who I was yesterday and who I am today and who I will be tomorrow. Because that way you can really make progress and you can really become the musician that you can be. And I would also say that blindness is only another part of who you are. Be proud of it, because it's another beautiful facet of who you are. Yes, sometimes it's inconvenient, no doubt about it. But sometimes a lot of other things are inconvenient too. So I would just urge parents of blind children and any students who want to be musicians just to acknowledge that's part of them and then move on.
That's wonderful. Well, Jessica, thanks for your time. I think you're the first person on Straight Talk that I remember who has her own CDs. So when you see your spike in sales, remember how that happened.
Well, hopefully I'll be coming out with a newer one because this one is 3 years old.
Okay.
So we're working
well,
on something
excellent.
Else.
So now you got two plugs in. actually three because you got your debut as well, which we'll definitely be letting people know about. Jessica, for coming on today, I'd like to present you with this NFB thank you mug.
Oh, so thank here you. Go. That's great. Yay, I can drink my coffee in this. Oh,
yes, absolutely. And we really look forward to watching your career progress and your leadership. And thank you, actually, for the contributions you've already made in terms of the future of Braille Music. And we look forward to putting your current and future CDs and accomplishments in our Ten Brook Library so they can always be remembered.
Well, I thank you for having me today. It's been great, and I hope to do much more work with the National Federation of the Blind.
Wonderful. Well, that's it for this musical episode of Straight Talk, and we hope that all of you go explore Jessica's music and explore the other wonderful blind musicians who are out there making music because that's their passion, not because they're blind. Thank you.
www.nfb.org 410-659-9314.